This is Exposure on Impact 89 FM.
WDBM East Lansing.
The show that lets you know about everything that goes on at the MSU campus that you otherwise might not know about. Tune in every Sunday at 9 a.m. I'm your host, Tessa Crush. Welcome to Exposure. Hello, hello, and welcome back to Exposure. You're listening to Season 14. I'm your host, Tessa Crush. As spring approaches and the days get warmer, there's no better time to embrace the great outdoors. Today, I'm here with members from the MSU Outdoors Club. From exhilarating whitewater rafting in West Virginia to serene rustic camping up north, this club is dedicated to embracing nature's playground in all its forms. Thank you guys so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Of course. Could you guys start off by introducing yourselves, say your name, major, year, connection to the organization?
Yeah, so my name is Katie Joles, and I'm a senior majoring in fisheries and wildlife, and I'm the president of the Outdoors Club. So I've been involved with the club all 4 years of college, including the first year, which was on Zoom, and so it's been a very wild ride.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, I'm Jack. I'm a senior in electrical engineering, and this is my third year in the club, and I'm one of the gear managers. So the second I got on campus, I found Outdoors Club, and it really just kind of like stuck with me.
I'm Olivia Palm, and I'm a junior studying environmental engineering, and I'm the treasurer for the club. And yeah, I've also been in the club for the past 3 years. So since I first started freshman year, I've been around.
So this has been a huge part of all of your college experiences. Mm-hmm. Quick icebreaker question before we get into it. If you were to choose one outdoor activity to do for the rest of your life, what would it be?
I would probably say cross-country skiing. I think there's something like magical when you start gliding on the snow and like all the trees are covered in snow and it falls a little bit when you ski under them. I don't know. It's a really cool activity that only people who live in the north get to experience.
Absolutely. Did you get to do that much this year? I feel like it was such a mild winter.
Oh my gosh, it was such a bummer. Yeah, I did. Only got to go 2 weekends out of the year, which usually I can go for 2 months. And I grew up on the lakeshore, so I got very blessed with lake effect snow. And so I took that for granted during high school. And then I came to East Lansing and I was like, oh, we don't get that much snow. And then I was up in the UP and they've been cross-country skiing up until this week. I was like, oh, you guys are lucky.
Yeah.
I would definitely pick climbing. It was one of the first things I did when I got to college, and I didn't realize just how, like, kind of fun it was. And before then, I had, like, a terrible fear of heights, and climbing kind of helped me get through that. But also, it took me to weird, crazy places, like in the middle of Arkansas down to, like, Kentucky and Red River Gorge. And there's also climbing, like, 20 or 30 minutes away from campus.
Really?
Yeah.
That's huge character development, from being afraid of heights to climbing huge heights.
Oh yeah.
Quick little shout out, that spot 20 minutes away is Grand Ledge, and it is some of the best outdoor climbing in the Lower Peninsula. So
really, what is it like?
You have to put anchors up on the trees above the climbing wall, and then you throw the rope down, and then you'll have another person belaying you, and you'll climb. It's perfectly safe if you know what you're doing, or if you go with somebody that knows what they're doing.
And we're very lucky to have it here.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of good hiking there too. I've learned for people that like want to go see somewhere cool but aren't necessarily into the whole climbing thing. There's really good hiking over there. Jack kind of stole my answer. I was also going to say climbing. I'm definitely not as advanced as he probably is, but I do really enjoy it. I think it's like one of the really cool things about like outdoor activities where you can like push yourself. And also, I think if I do it long enough and that's the only thing I'm doing, I'll just be absolutely jacked at some point. I'll take it. Like, full body workout, I'll go for it.
Have you guys always been outdoor enthusiasts, or is this a recent development?
I got very lucky to grow up with parents who were both very outdoorsy and also believed heavily in traveling, and camping is a very affordable way to do it, so that's what we always did. And I also grew up in a very rural community, so my sister and I were always told to go play outside. And we then started traveling as we got older to places further away, like in the Rockies and stuff. And then in college, I kind of took it into my own hands and have worked all across the country in outdoor recreation. And I'll probably only continue to get more into the outdoors.
Yeah, so I mainly grew up in Houston, and there's not a lot of nature in Houston. So it really only came around when I got to Michigan State, where I like had my own free time and there was a lot more things to do outside of just drive around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of the same. My parents are definitely like homebodies. So a lot of like my outdoor fix growing up was like either taking a walk on the little nature preserve a mile from my house or like go to summer camp for a week every summer. And I really loved that. And then I ended up randomly as a freshman in high school being able to go to Iceland. And that Whoa. Just kind of like sent me from there. And so I kind of took it and ran when I got to college and haven't really stopped since.
Yeah. I know I gave a little bit of an explanation of the Outdoors Club and everything it has to offer, but I want to hear from you. What is it like to be a part of it?
So essentially, we're a club dedicated to exploring the outdoors. And a lot of that is providing a community full of people who like to be outdoors just as much as you do. Or if you're curious about it, a community full of resources. So whether that be people who can tell you what gear to buy, how to get the gear, take you on a camping trip, teach you how to climb.
It's just kind of like a community where even if you've never done anything outside at all, you can still join and do like the little things all the way up to going all the way to Texas to go to Big Bend. And it's really nice to have a community that kind of has a same kind of goal or idea where it's just like, you know, outdoors for all.
And it's cool in the sense that you can enter being an expert in anything outdoors and then also be starting on ground zero. And mm-hmm. no matter what, you'll come together and you won't be like, I don't know, lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the really like cool things about the club is a lot of our trips are planned by our members, not necessarily just by eBoard. We're there to like guide the members on like booking and planning and figuring out logistics. But 9 times out of 10, our members are coming up with the ideas. So it's given us like a lot of variety in our trips of like, I don't even know. We went skiing this year. We went like canoeing in Traverse City.
We went backpacking to look for fossils.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
There was just a trip to Florida where they went to look for like snakes and critters. If that's your jam, go for it.
Is that your jam?
No. I am so afraid of snakes. It's not even funny.
Oh my gosh.
I got
me
sent
too.
A picture of an alligator and I was like, I'll be having my great time out here in Utah.
Yeah.
I'm good.
We're going to opt out of that one.
Yeah. But they all had a blast and it was their thing for them, which is like, there you go. You have your opportunities to do what you're into.
And are you familiar with the history of the organization? When was it started?
So it was started in 1927. And we were originally the Outing Club, which makes sense because we do outings to go camping. And then in 1969, we switched to being the Outdoors Club. And we've been here ever since. So I believe we're the oldest student organization on campus.
Wow.
Yeah. And right now, I believe we are also the largest. So we got 2 claims to fame right there.
Yeah. That's awesome. How has the organization changed since then?
It's gone a lot more from more of like an exclusive club to like being more of like everybody and anybody can join mm-hmm. whenever they want to.
Yeah, I think you used to have to like apply to get in, which like that's scary. But yeah, now it's like come as you are and like we'd love to have you. And yeah, I don't know. I think it's more very community based. Now,
yeah.
In the recent years.
But it has been interesting. It used to be a much smaller community, and now we have grown to be the largest club on campus. So it is a big community.
The largest club on campus. How many members are involved?
Over 500.
What?
Yeah, I think our GroupMe has like 630 or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. All right. So I want to know what a week looks like for you guys with so many people. You guys have weekly meetings, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do those generally look like?
You know, they've been very different this mm-hmm. year from week to week. So like in the fall, one night we played Ghost in the Graveyard with glow sticks near Beaumont Tower. And then sometimes we'll do presentations on how to layer to survive when it is 20 degrees and you're backpacking. And then this past week we did a bonfire / barbecue where we just grilled hot dogs for everybody mm-hmm. and s'mores and stuff. So very different each week.
Yeah, we've definitely varied a lot. Like, I guess the baseline is probably like our meeting in a classroom in IMWest where we do trip signups and trip recaps after or before trips. And then sometimes like a presentation. We've had guest speakers too. come in and talk about like events on campus or like outdoor job opportunities, things like that. And then, yeah, like this past weekend, we did a barbecue. I think like a month ago, we went to Hawk Island, went snow tubing. But yeah, we've had a really decent turnout at our meetings this year. Yeah. So we're pretty full.
We've tried to make them more engaging this year, mm-hmm. rather than just presentations that feel like you're sitting in another lecture of your day.
Right.
Yeah. We've tried to do more stuff that makes it into the community we strive to be and mm-hmm. allows you the space to make friends.
How often are you doing trips and excursions?
Pretty much every single weekend. Like Liv said earlier, it's mm-hmm. member-driven, members plan trips. So when the semester starts to get stressful, there's definitely less trips being planned. Mm-hmm. But then some weekends, for instance, when it's that one weekend of the fall where there's no home football game, there are upwards of 3 to 4 trips going out that weekend.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So.
Can you give me an example of what those 4 trips would be?
Trying to think of what we did that weekend.
Yeah, there was one to Hocking Hills in Ohio.
Yeah.
There was one to Ludington, which was tent camping on the beach. There was one to Sleeping Bear, which was tent camping in the forest.
There was one more.
Yeah.
Was it Rustic?
No, it wasn't a Rustic. Mm. Rustic was after that. I think that was the day hike at Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people are able to pick and choose which ones yeah. they would want to do. So yeah. if they didn't want to deal with insects, they don't have to.
Yeah.
Precisely.
All of our trips are lottery based too, which is really cool.
What does that mean?
So you sign up on like a Google form or a spreadsheet, and then we like put it into random wheel generator basically. And it picks like that. So if there's several signups at a meeting, you can sign up for as much as you want. And then bound to get on one. Yeah, there's definitely opportunities. And like a cool thing is like when Katie mentioned, when it gets busy, like we don't have as many like off-campus trips. We do have a lot of on-campus engagement too.
Mm-hmm.
Just like little events happening around here. So we keep going even when it gets busy.
I know you mentioned that members are generally planning these excursions, but what's the process of planning that?
It kind of varies, I think. Like we have a form that goes out in our meeting minutes every week of like, hey, fill this out, send it to our secretaries, and we will like have an e-board member help you get that planned. But I've also had several people just come up to me at a meeting and be like, yo, can I plan this trip? I'm like, yeah, sure, let's do it.
Or they already have it all figured out down to the sites and just email you the links and you're like, can I go through the bank of OC to book these sites? You're like all right, okay. Yeah, go for it. Sure.
Yeah, and then we deliberate who's going to go on what trips and go from there and then present at the meetings.
Mm-hmm. What would you say the most popular destinations or activities are for the group as a whole?
Absolutely Rustic.
Yeah, Rustic is up at Wilderness State Park, which is near the bridge. It's also next to the Dark Sky International Park, which is cool. And it's staying in a cabin, and it's usually about 20 students staying in a cabin, going hiking during the day. And it's a really fun time, mm-hmm. and that's often where people meet their friends from Outdoors Club that they end up keeping for all of college and then beyond.
Like, that was the first trip I went on as a little baby freshman,
mm-hmm.
and I'm still friends with all the people that I met on that trip.
Wow, that seems so impactful.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think that being a part of this organization as a whole has impacted your time at MSU?
Oh, another good question. I think for me, it has definitely given me a lot of confidence because prior to college and coming to Outdoors Club, I was the only outdoorsy person I really knew. And then coming to Outdoors Club, I found so many people who share the same interests as me, and I could form like really great friendships because of it. And I also started to feel like, oh, there is a place that I belong. And that's especially important, I think, at such a big university.
Yeah, and finding your people.
Yes, exactly. And then also you go and do a really cool trip, like you go whitewater rafting, and of course you're going to feel pretty confident after you raft down some mm-hmm. crazy rapids.
Yeah.
You're like, I could do anything, which is cool.
Yeah, I think it really kind of helped me like get out and find new friends in places that I would have probably never have found before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially in like being an engineering major, that's like all you're focused on and it takes up all your time. But then mm-hmm. you have, you know, this club or this organization that helps you like see other people and see people when you'd normally never see them outside of just a regular school day.
And like those friends that you form in the outdoors are like, in my opinion, very like true friends. Like like, oh, you would save me from a bear if there was a bear attacking me, which like has obviously never happened on an outdoors club trip. But there's something about that level of friendship that I think is really special and unique to outdoors mm-hmm. club, that you go through things like this.
I mean, even just thinking about rock climbing, there's someone belaying the other person. Like that's mm-hmm. someone supporting each other. Yeah. That's really beautiful, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's definitely like made my college experience out of everything I've done. You know, I've been in like other organizations and like had friends in my major, but I think when I really think about it, like this has made my experience. Especially I went to like a very small private school and my graduating class was like 100 people, like super small. So coming here, I was like shell shocked. I was like, oh my gosh, what have I gotten myself into? And finding an organization so quick that I had so much in common with all of the people, like I was able to take it and run. And I've like met so many people that have the same like interests and like passions as I do. And it's like made the experience all so much better.
Right. Mm-hmm. We were talking about rapids and bears. How do you ensure the safety of your members?
Generally, there's a lot of pre-planning that comes from like planning a trip. So if we're going whitewater rafting, obviously we have guides that help us through that and they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so we put most of our safety in whitewater rafting to like the guides who are way more knowledgeable about the rapids than we are. And then for say like hiking in bear country or camping in bear country, we obviously go through the risks and we do a pre-assessment of like what happens if this were to happen and other things, and like being prepared, having like bear canisters or bear mm-hmm. spray, going through just a lot of like pre-safety like checkoffs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Also, like on trips, there is an e-board member and usually multiple e-board members, and they are there for if things do go wrong, to be able like, okay, let's backpedal. How do we get out of this? What do we do right now? And I think that's something that members don't always see, is the hours that we put into mm-hmm. pre-planning and then at the actual events, like the e-board huddle of figuring out, oh no, how do we ensure safety? And like e-board as a whole mm-hmm. cares so much about member safety, and we are not afraid to make the hard decisions that, while maybe it means, oh no, you can't go on the hike you wanted to go on, it's because we want to keep you safe. And we make those decisions for everybody mm-hmm. so that way nothing bad happens.
There's definitely like a big evaluation of risk before going through with a trip. And like, is this the correct time of year? Like, we're very diligent about things with winter camping, making sure that you have the right gear, a 0-degree sleeping bag, like all that. Or like if you're going to be hiking in bear country, making sure that you like aren't leaving your food out at night. And like it also gives you like the space and the opportunity to learn how to do those things and how yeah. to know like, oh, I can't leave my food out at night.
Because the
like,
nice thing about traveling with Outdoors Club mm-hmm. is there's an e-board member there if you do leave your food out, to pick your food up for you after you've gone to bed and be like, hey, buddy, don't leave your food out next time. Mm-hmm. Rather than if you did not go on an Outdoors Club trip, you maybe would have been eaten by that bear. Hopefully not.
But, exactly. Yeah.
And like, oh, you went on a winter camping trip and you did not bring wool socks. Good thing the upperclassmen on that mm-hmm. trip brought extras and are there for you to like fix mm-hmm. your mistakes and help you.
Yeah. It's setting you up for success in the future if you intend exactly. on doing excursions like this.
And I think that's the beauty of Outdoors Club mm-hmm. is you're allowed to mess up in a safe environment.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we touched on gear a little bit. What might be necessary to own or to have for this club?
Actually, nothing at all. We have a really sufficient gear room down in the basement of where we have our meetings.
Where is that?
In IM West.
Okay.
And that covers everything from backpacking backpacks to tents to sleeping bags to sleeping pads, headlights, trekking poles, anything you could need to be successful on a trip. We have it and we rent it out to you on any trip that you might need that gear.
Mm-hmm. And like a cool thing too is it kind of like gives you a little bit of a trial run with gear or like different activities of like, oh, I'm going to try if I like climbing. I'm going to borrow these climbing shoes one time. Oh, no, I hate it. I never want to do it again. I'm so glad I didn't spend a pair of climbing shoes.
What would you say your favorite memory or experience you had with the Outdoors Club is?
I personally would say last year's spring break trip down to Big Bend Ranch State Park in Texas, which is, if you were to imagine Big Bend, National Park and take away any civilization, that's Big Bend Ranch. And we had no water, no food, and we'd have to drive from the entrance of the park to our campsite for about an hour. And that was like a week long of just kind of that. So we would go on these like hikes, and when we left campus that time last year, it was like a snowstorm, 8 inches of snow when we get there, and it's 85 degrees and it's hot and it's sunny and it's so, so bright. I didn't realize how bright the sun would be after a snowstorm, but yeah. And I think through like a lot of like tough times in Texas where we had to like filter water from a dry riverbed and almost get lost, it kind of bonds you a lot with those people.
Right. And a little bit of trauma bonding.
Yeah. You can think, I think of it in my head as like pre-Texas, post-Texas of my life.
Pre and post Texas.
Yeah, I was also on that trip and I was in that car with Jack. And I have this joke that I go through every near-death experience with Jack Doris, particularly the one where we had to filter water out of the dry riverbed. But no, that is up there in like Outdoors Club memories. Because yeah, at the time I was like, why am I digging for water? What? And now I'm like, oh my gosh, look at this picture of me digging for water in Texas. Isn't it so like Outdoors Club? Oh my gosh, we're so funny.
Isn't we call it so it, Outdoors Club?
Oh, that is like, I use Outdoors Club as an adjective, adverb, noun, like verb, everything. But no, I am bonded with every single person I spent that week in Texas with after that trip. But no, we say type two fun sometimes. Yeah. See? Which it's like, sometimes it's a little grueling in the moment, but after you're like, that is probably one of the sickest things I've ever done.
Was that your favorite memory?
I would say it's up there. It's really hard to narrow it down. Or like the one time on my first whitewater rafting trip when I was a sophomore. And this was like, Katie's going to laugh at me when I say this.
Oh no.
I was one of two people to fall out of the raft. Oh, and yeah. I fell out of the raft when the raft was not moving.
How did that happen?
So, you know, that's a really great question. I ask myself that question like in the night when I wake up and I'm like, why did I fall out of the raft? But no, it was just like funny. And I low-key got flamed at it for the next like 6 meetings. I was like, guys, stop. But also it was like, low-key, that was really funny.
She was like sitting on the raft, like on the edge, and it just bumped her. And she just felt like somersaulted out of the raft. And I didn't know her at the time. And now she's like one of my best friends.
Yeah, this was like the first time we had ever met.
Yeah, I would say that my favorite memory of Outdoors Club is honestly the first trip I ever went on. Mm. Because it was just a weird mix of all these upperclassmen that I thought were just the coolest people ever. And I was like, how can I ever talk to them? And then also all these underclassmen that now I'm really good friends with. And it's been funny to see how we have like become friends again over the course of the four years. Because after the rustic, it wasn't like I was best friends with all of them immediately. But like they've reappeared in my life. And it's been like, oh my gosh, yes, we did go on that rustic together. Mm-hmm. And those upperclassmen that I thought were way too cool to ever even know my name, I then became best friends with after that meeting. And like, one of them turned 21 on that trip, and it was like his birthday party was in the rustic cabin. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is such a cool club that they'll do this for this person. And then like, we've been friends so long that then he came to my 21st birthday. Aww. And so that's just a really special memory that when I signed up for that trip, I was excited because obviously it was my first Outdoors Club trip, but I didn't realize how many friendships and memories would come out of that trip that would last for years, mm-hmm. which is just crazy to think about. And then like overall, now, as I'm ending my time as president specifically, it has been really, really happy to see people have fun at meetings that I planned because I remember being in their shoes.
Yeah.
And now to get to make that happen for other people has just been so fulfilling.
Absolutely.
And I would not have expected that. Like, for instance, Ghost in the Graveyard, seeing people run around and have fun, like that was such a like fulfilling moment for me.
Yeah, that sounds really rewarding. So what would you say sets this club apart from other outdoor-focused organizations on campus?
I think we have a really good mix of, like I said before, like on and off campus engagement, as well as like fun and like outdoor education kind of, and like incorporating those both into like one thing. Like we did Jeopardy a few weeks ago. And I was Steve Harvey. I know Steve Harvey is the Family Feud host, okay? But I just wanted to say I was Steve Harvey for that day. And one of our things was like survival questions. And it was funny. Everyone had so much fun with it. And then they can apply those things when they go on a trip. It's like, yes, now I know I need to boil water for a minute before it's safe to drink.
Yeah, I think it's just the social aspect of our club is really special because other clubs don't have weekly meetings no matter what and trips every single weekend. Mm-hmm. Well, every single weekend is an exaggeration, but so often and like all these community events, it's hard to find clubs that can do so much so often. And so it is nerve-wracking to go to those social events, but the nice thing about Outdoors Club is we keep shoving it in your face so much until you actually do it, and then you do it, and you're like, I'm going to go to the next one. So I think that's cool.
Yeah. I also think that, like, sheer diversity of trips that you can take mm-hmm. is, like, a really big factor, from skiing to hiking to climbing to pretty much anything you can think of.
Bugs.
Bugs.
Bug trip.
Bug trip.
Bug trip.
If that's what you're interested in. And I know that we mentioned that you guys are very open to people of all skill levels, but is there any prerequisites or requirements for certain activities?
Well, for certain, like, don't go on the whitewater rafting trip if you can't swim.
Okay, yeah.
Don't do that. And then in years past, we've done a caving trip, and there's an advanced caving trip, and you have to have gone on the intermediate caving trip first to go on that one. But other than that, there's really not many prereqs.
The only thing I could think of is like climbing. Like, don't sign up for the Red River Gorge climbing trip if you've never once like even put a harness on. But like, if that's something you're interested in, like, you come talk to us and we tell you like, oh, maybe go with these people to go climb this weekend, or we have a Learn to Climb event in like 2 weeks, come to that. And then maybe like by the time this rolls around, or like the time we do the next one, like, you'll be set to rock with it. Yeah. No pun intended.
If someone was interested in getting involved, where do you suggest they go?
Our Instagram is where we post meeting reminders, but honestly, just show up to one of our meetings if you want to join. They're at room 208 in IM West, Mondays 8 p.m. If you go to one of those meetings, that's where you can figure out all of the next steps. And like, that's where we can help you join our GroupMe, sign a waiver, pay dues, all of that. And then you're ready to sign up for a trip and go mm-hmm. anywhere.
Yeah. You can show up to as many meetings as you want and not be an official member.
Mm-hmm. That's true too.
What exactly is your Instagram handle?
SU Outdoors Club.
What advice would you give someone who is new to outdoor activities and is considering joining?
Just do it, honestly. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. just try it and talk to people. Like, nobody, it's going to end up so well if you just do that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, and bring extra socks.
Yeah.
That's a good rule of life, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it's cold, wear more than a hood, bring more than a hoodie and a dream. That's kind of our joke that we have now that she said the thing of the socks. It's like, sometimes, like, when you walk to class and it's 40 degrees, you can saunter in a hoodie. But when you're roughing it outside, sometimes we just show up in a hoodie and with a hoodie and a dream.
Yes.
You should dress like a little baby that's like gonna go in the snow for the first time with like 7 layers, and then because you can always take layers off, but you can never add.
And even if you do show up with a hoodie and a dream, or you do feel unwelcome, which I hope you don't, but never be afraid to ask for help. I like to say we're the coolest club on campus, so
I mean, you already got the oldest and you got the biggest, so you might as well add one more.
And we're the coolest, so you should totally join if you want to be part of Outdoors Club and go camping and be part of the coolest club on campus.
You'll like automatically be bestowed with like a really cool pair of sunglasses. I've noticed that's a trend amongst most of us, that like we all own really cool sunglasses, and I think it's just a rite of passage.
Yeah. Like beyond Pit Vipers.
Oh,
we get unique Vipers. With it.
Yeah, I think they just kind of like come from like a shining light, and they're like bestowed, like kind of like the wand in Harry Potter, like the sunglasses choose you in Outdoors Club.
Wow. And cool stickers.
And cool stickers. We do have really cool stickers and really cool merch.
Okay, this is all good mm-hmm. to know. Mm-hmm. And that's it for our show. Thank you to our station manager, Delaney Rogers, general manager, Jeremy Whiting, and program director, McKenna Lowndes. And as always, thank you to you, our listeners. If you like what you've heard, come back next week. I'm Tessa Kresh. You've been listening to
Exposure.
This was this week's episode of Exposure. Keep in mind that the views and opinions discussed on Exposure are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff at Impact 89 FM.
If you're interested in going back and listening to our archive of stories, feel free to check out our website at impact89fm.org. And of course, if you're interested in what's going on next week, you can tune back in and we'll see you back here. You've been listening to
Exposure.